Good morning, Genesis Metro. How are you this morning? Always have to say, let's give it up for the band leading us in worship this morning. I took your line from you.
Some people say it better, you know?
Okay. All right, so before we get started, this is, my name's Carrie. I'm Pastor Tim's wife, his sidekick. Some say better half. Some people say that. You have a survey in your seat this morning that we gave you, a little piece of paper. Did you see that? Would you just pick that up and hold it up? We want everybody to have it. We want you to go ahead and fill it out right now because we don't want you to miss it. So go ahead. Here's a little pencil. There's a survey. It's basically for you to let us know when we should have a third service.
Yes.
Because clearly our picker is broken, and we will choose that.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that
we
later.
We want to give it up for all the 50 people that came out to the 12 faithfully.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
And so if you're reading that survey clearly, we're asking you if you moved from the 9 o'clock to one of these other options, and you'll notice that 10:45 is not listed because it doesn't help us for you to go to the other full service. And
right.
So we will have to have a third service in the future, but if you could rank those, and we even threw in there the dreaded Saturday night option.
Well, it's not dreaded. Some people are Saturday people.
Right.
Right? We could be like, you could have a shirt that's like, I'm a Saturday person. I went to church tonight. So nobody's judging you at Target when you go
whatever,
out to Costco.
Whatever the most...
I have ideas.
Want to do, that's what we will, in fact, do, yes. So if you could fill those out real quick, we're gonna give you the 30 seconds it should take you. And then we're gonna launch into today's service. And we are going to be covering some good stuff today. Carrie and I are gonna be talking about how to build relationships that last. And so we wanted to give you that time, and then you're gonna turn those in at the end during the offering, okay? So for those of you that aren't used to putting something in the offering, you'll get a shot today.
Oh, man. You've been off for...
I've had to be serious for weeks today. We are not being serious.
That's not in the notes. That was... Wow.
I'm just getting it all out there.
Are we ready?
Is everybody done? Say I'm done.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
Thank you.
Today we're going to start off with this verse, Amos 3:3, a famous verse. I love this verse. If you're ever thinking about relationships, you can always run to this verse and ask yourself, whenever there is disagreement, right, then you can't be following this verse. Because this verse necessitates that there be agreement, all right? Show me anyone that is disgruntled or in disagreement or in a place in their relationship where they're not getting along, and I will tell you that one or both are not in agreement, and not just agreement with each other, but agreement with God. Because if we are agreeing with God, then shouldn't we be able to walk together? So Amos 3:3 says, do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so? And in order to demonstrate this, Carrie and I come from the Gen X, what our kids now call boomer.
No, but the boomers are our parents.
Right, but they don't know that. The kids don't know.
This is true.
Much like what we're going to talk about. They just don't know.
That's true.
And so whenever we're thinking about this word agreement, we have to go back in the way back time machine. And for all of you that are millennials and below, you will not relate to this. But there was a time whenever Carrie and I or a group of our friends, we would go to some place like the mall or even bigger, the fair, and say someone wants to go ride a ride over there while someone wants to go check out the animals in the agri barn. And then you would just have to agree, okay? You just have to agree where we're going to meet up. And so you would just say, we're going to be at Big Tex at 7, okay?
Yeah.
And then that other person would just have to go to Big Tex at 7, and then they would have to wait because you can't leave. Once you've decided the meeting point, you can't undecide it. And so, and obviously someone gets caught up in some long line, and so you're just sitting there waiting. You can't text them, right? You can't call them. You can't pull up and look at their location and navigate like a spy towards them.
Well, now,
No, you just had to agree. You had to agree on a spot, and then you had to meet there. And for all of you that are that old to remember when your parents were picking you up.
And you, like, a skating rink at 9 o'clock.
Right.
And then what, if you weren't sitting on that curb waiting when they pulled up, oh.
Yeah.
You had hell to pay.
I remember even trying to get my parents to pick me up early. And they were like,
No. No, you'd be there at 9.
I said 9. Like, everybody's down, like, oh, Mom, I'm bored. Can you come pick me up? No. The answer would be no. Like, we got stuff we're doing too. You'd be on the curb at 9.
No one blinked an eye.
There's like 20 kids sitting out on the curb just waiting for their parents. And it looked normal. Now it'd be like, is everything okay here? They're not on their phones. What's wrong?
You just had to agree to meet up.
Yeah.
They'll never know.
So whenever it comes to that word agreement and our relationship and churches and families, you have to really think about Carrie and I, because we agreed on our destination when we got married, we can always know that no matter how we get apart, no matter what seasons we go through, we're always going to end up back together because we've already agreed on the destination.
Right.
And see, if you would agree on the destination for your marriage, for your family, for your business, for your money, for everything else, if you would agree on that destination within the parameters that God has set, then you too could always know that in the end, you'll end up walking together. Wouldn't that be great? So I want you guys to be thinking about that this morning as we go through this subject. So we've titled the sermon, Built to Last. Carrie, you want to read these verses?
Yeah.
She's a better reader than I am, by the way.
Our key verses that we're going to read today are out of Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain. Unless the Lord watches over his city, the watchman stays alert in vain. Great, great, deep insight for us to pay attention to. And then that goes along with, we liked how that interacted with John 15:5 that tells us, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. So these two things tell us if we don't have God in the center of what we're doing, if we haven't asked him to be an umbrella over our efforts, then really it's in vain. It's for naught.
Absolutely.
He must be the center of it.
Right. Could you put point number one up on the screen? And this is a process that we're going to walk you guys through. Number one is we have to ask God to be the architect. That's what the psalmist is saying there, right? That if you don't let God build the house, then it doesn't matter that you are laboring because you're ultimately building it in vain. If you are even watching over the house, but God is not watching over you, then you're trying to protect something that you can't protect.
Yeah.
And so whenever you start looking at these verses, it gives us some common sense clues about whether or not you've invited God to be the architect of your life. I think a lot of people in Frisco are the great, incredible architects of their own life, and they haven't invited God into the process. The aim was success and hopefully a side of salvation, just enough to get us into heaven, but not enough to complicate our schedule. And so today I hope that you would begin thinking, what is it that you are actually building?
Well, and no one wants to waste time. I think if we look at these verses, Psalm 127 and even John 15:5, and what we see is the opposite is also true. If we're laboring without God as part of what we're doing, then it says it's going to be in vain, which means it's going to be wasted. Your efforts are going to be wasted. And I just wonder if there's any efficiency experts in the room, like my husband.
Man, I hate wasting time. Raise your hand if you hate wasting time. Does anybody else hate wasting? I hate wasting time.
So wouldn't you hate to go about your life and realize you've wasted years, decades on laboring without God as the center, as the point that you're focusing on, without God as the architect of your life, you've wasted time. And so it looks like you're doing a lot, but really you're doing nothing. Yeah. Have you ever met someone that is just doing a lot?
They look like they're doing something.
Happening? Exactly. Exactly.
Whenever you think about even dating, can I give some dating advice? Yes, Pastor Tim, give it to us. I was recently talking to a friend, and I was giving them some dating advice, and they're not a young person, they're a little bit older person. And, you know, I've watched from afar their dating philosophy. And, you know, as pastors, sometimes we have advice, but, you know, you gotta wait till you're kind of invited into that circle to give it, you know? Yeah, okay. And I finally felt like it was time, you know, to have that talk. And that's why sometimes, like, some of you don't want to be friends with pastors, because eventually I mean, they're going to say something, right? And so I was like, man, I said, I really think you got to work on your picking. You know, I think some people are just bad pickers. Does anybody else know someone like that? You just look at the people they're picking and you're like, I can tell you the problem. It's who you're picking. And he's like, what do you mean? And I was like, well, I just from what I gathered, it sounds like you're having sex with him. He goes, well, I'm a man. I have needs. And I was like, yeah, I understand that. And I was like, but that's what you do after you get married, not before you get married. And I said, so you keep on doing the thing that's sabotaging the relationship. In a way, you're kind of cursing the relationship because you're getting things out of order. So how are you saying you wanted God to bless it if you're not going to do it the way God said it? He said, are you saying that I need to wait until I get married? And I was like, yeah. He goes, are you saying that you and Carrie waited until you got married? I said, yes. He goes, well, you're a better man than I am. So I just wanted to say to you guys, if you're thinking about dating advice this morning, how in the world are you going to do it some other way than what God said it, and then hope that he blesses it? I'd like to save you from wasting time.
I mean, God has to be the single source solution, and you can't just pick and choose, so to speak, what you're going to follow, what you're not, what you're going to ask him into the middle of, what you're not. He's interested in who you're dating because that's going to affect the rest of your life potentially. So it is something to invite him into.
I think it's the most important decision.
Absolutely. I always say that. We always say that the second most important decision you'll ever make in your life is who you're going to marry, who you're going to spend the rest of your life with. It'll make or break you. So we came up with a little bit of a formula that we wanted to share today, and we think it's easy for you to replicate, that you could in fact follow this and find success and be able to build your life, have God be the architect. And even as we built GM, this church, and we were building our family at the same time, when we moved here, we had one son. Jordan was a year and a half, and little did we know we would have two more. But we essentially ended up building our family and the church at the same time. And you know what's true is that God is consistent. So when you're building anything, if you apply his principles to it, that's going to be your recipe for success. So it ended up that way, that we, as we look back, like, man, we applied these to our church, we applied these to our family, and God built both of them, and we're standing now on the other side of all these years. So share a little bit with us the formula that we have found.
So this is the same formula for both building the church and building our family. Number one, the foundation has to be Jesus, right? Can we agree? Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Number two, the builder, according to Psalm 127, also has to be Jesus. Church said. Amen. All right. The protector, according to Psalm 127, is also Jesus. So we have to make the protector Jesus. And the church said. Amen. All right. And then according to John 15:5, the provider for all of the things that you build with is also Jesus. And the church said. Amen. Amen. So think about that for a moment. All right. If the foundation, the builder, the protector, and the provider are all Jesus, then you have to ask yourself, right, how much Jesus are you allowing into your life? Because wouldn't it be easier if you just let Jesus be the parts that he's supposed to be instead of you continually trying to take the parts away from Jesus as if you can do it better than Jesus can do it? And so if you would let Jesus do these things and submit to him, it doesn't mean that you don't provide effort. It doesn't mean that he doesn't call you to work hard. It just means that you're allowing him to guide your decision-making. And so it would be take all the pressure off, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? Like, see, some of you, because you have been the architect of your life and you have now said, okay, what does success look like? It means I got this job. I got this, I got this, I got this. Then success, apart from God, is really your plan, and you have bifurcated or you have compartmentalized how you look at life, and you say, well, my faith is over here, but my profession is over here. My faith is over here, but my marriage is over here. My faith is over here, but my kids and my family are over here. And if they're not under the same umbrella, then you're putting the success of all of that in your hands. And my friend, as much as I love you, and as shrewd and as intelligent, as a brilliant strategist that you are not better than Jesus. And so if you would agree to this formula, oh, why'd you take the formula down? Leave the formula up. The formula's everything.
Let's give it up for our media team. What if they did?
Calm down. What if they were like on point three and they were like, oh, I almost had the provider. Okay.
Well, isn't it true though that also if you apply these formulas, but if you think about life, you know, on a big picture scale, marriages are not built in a moment, but over miles. Churches, families are not built in just one moment, but over the miles. And what we have found, and I think you would agree with me, is the miles matter more than just any one moment. They matter more. And I would say, and we got 28 years on the odometer reading, born on all of our miles.
I looked it up last night. It takes 25 years for it to be a classic. We are classic. 3 years older than a classic. I don't know if you've ever seen a classic. Most of them, they got a little bit of dents and dings. And us, right?
We got some dings.
Yeah, we're falling apart is what I'm trying to say.
Broke back over there. You got a back that don't work. I mean, it works.
When she says broke back, I think we understand. She means my back.
He had a new thing this week. You had a little zippy finger, a little zappy finger. He reached down to get, be careful. He reached back to get something, and he yelled and screamed out, which I usually do. And he was holding his finger, and he said this shock went from all the way down his arm through his finger.
I got a trapped nerve.
So he's like walking around like this. I hurt my finger. You just never know. Like a little three-year-old. I hurt my finger. I don't know.
So
I
think we have some other things we can get into. Carrie's got a trick shoulder, and she's also got a hamstring.
It actually is bursitis, is what I have learned.
Let me finish mine.
Here we go.
She hurt her hamstring 2 years ago. I said, babe, that's not an injury. That's a disability at this point, right?
Still hurts.
It's just not fixing itself anymore.
I just can't run like I used to. No, I don't know what happened when they just snapped.
I think we got a photo of your glasses issue. So, can we put that up there? Oh, yeah.
I need bifocals.
This is how Carrie now has to read. She has to magnify the magnifiers.
Those are my glasses that I wear when I don't have my contacts on. But then those are not bifocals. They're not readers.
Yeah.
They're just normal glasses. But then if I just have my glasses on at the house,
I still
need my readers so I can see. So I have to put both of them on to see. Leave me alone. At least I still have my gallbladder. I haven't lost any organs. I got all my organs. I don't know about you. Just saying. I don't have to think about something to, I don't have to think about if I drop it, am I going to pick it up or is it just going to stay there?
I do that. If I drop something right now, it'd
gotta
be like a...
He's got to like...
I got to do a three-point turn.
Lift with the legs.
In order to
he's
got to
be
there.
So careful about that. Yeah, we got some dents and dings. 28 years.
Yeah, 28 years.
A lot of miles.
But, I'll tell you, it only gets better as you are married longer because eventually what you realize is that we know everything about each other at this point, and yet we still choose to love each other.
That's right.
There it is. We choose it.
We do. We choose it. You do have to choose it.
So if you guys aren't willing to go through all those miles, you'll never get to that moment. Mm-hmm. And so I want to encourage you, walk together. And then we have a couple of verses because the storm is always coming. In Matthew chapter 7, it tells us about a man who built his house on the sand. You guys familiar with this story? The storm came, knocked it down. And then he says the one that we want to focus on today in verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears the words, and we have a mantra at Genesis Metro, we say, we measure success by life change in response to God's word. And that is not our mantra, that is all throughout the Bible. Here Jesus is saying it to his disciples in his first recorded public sermon. Therefore, everyone who hears these words, hears God's words, and acts on them, receives them, takes them to heart, will be like a wise man, right? He built his house on the rock. Now in Luke 6, Sometimes the synoptic gospels, they include other details, and so I'm combining these so you have the full flavor of this parable. It says that he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. So we'll take those two concepts in just a moment. He was a wise man, he received the word, and then he dug deep. Matthew 25, we'll go back to, or Matthew 7, verse 25, we'll go back to that. It says, the rain fell, the rivers rose, and the winds blew and pounded on that house. Yet, it didn't collapse because its foundation was on the rock. So I want you to begin thinking about that, that the storms will always tell the story, right? Every time you go through a storm, it will tell a story, right? And so you know right now, the storm is out there, right? Every so often, every couple of months in the Dallas area, I mean, it comes for us, right? And it's amazing. I don't know if y'all know this, but there's like a real lake effect that Lake Louisville, if you'll watch the storms coming up from down south, they always split. And they just hammer Salina, but Frisco, it's just a nice little, you know, little pillow right there. Just boop. Okay. So anyway, I don't know why I told you that weather fact. But
also, how dorky are we that we watch the weather that closely?
Oh, Carrie is into some weather, I'll tell you that. Yeah. It's part of, she's got, anyway.
I got my meteorology glasses, too.
You can see the future. Whenever we're thinking about all of the stories that storms reveal, we thought it might be beneficial for you guys, because I know most of you think that we are perfect and that we have a perfect relationship.
I don't know if they think that.
That Carrie wakes up every day like, man, I just love Tim. I just love him. Look at him. And so we thought we would share just a couple of storms that we created for each other, and then how that revealed, right? Because we think of these storms as things that ruin, but in both of the stories, the storm came, but it didn't ruin both houses, right? It revealed. It revealed what was beneath the surface. And that's what storms will do in your life. They will reveal what is beneath the surface. You want to go first?
Sure. So we're each going to tell one on each other,
yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
I don't think in the years we have been doing this, we have ever told this first story.
I've never told the second
public.
Story.
Okay, then we've never told either one of these. Okay, we were trying to
Will
go
you
through
lift
our
that up
library.
Just a little bit?
This?
Yeah, there
right
you go.
Here. We have lots of discussions about holding this microphone, in case
yeah.
you didn't know. That's one of our storms.
Yeah.
It's hitting right now.
Yeah.
I'm like the Hulk, it's just always in there. Okay, one time, Christmas, just imagine, family Christmas scene. Everyone's opening presents, we're at a big gathering, and our kids open an airsoft rifle. Do you remember this? Do you remember airsoft rifles? Now Tim says he did have these when he was a kid. I was raised in a girl house.
Not an airsoft then, rifle, we had spring-loaded, those yellow pellets. Does anybody remember those?
Okay. Okay, that's enough.
I never shot an airsoft rifle proper until this night.
Okay, so we're inside a living room. Our kids are like fifth, third, and Silas is little, like three, all right? They're little, but they are excited about this airsoft rifle, these boys. I know nothing about nothing. They're getting it out, putting it together, whatever. I don't even know if it got put together, if it just came out in one piece, I don't know. They're so excited, they're just dying. I'm over here gathering more presents to pass out, right? I'm over here gathering. I have bent down, I have leaned down, and my back is to everyone. And we're in a living room. It's not big. It's not huge. We're all right there together. Also, was the days of kind of more low-rise jeans, so I'm leaning over. There's a bit of skin exposed right back there. Tim, what's happening behind me is he wants to test this out. And he's aiming it at me, little did I know. And Jordan, who's in fifth grade and all his wisdom, is going like this. Tim pulls the trigger, shoots me, and it hits me right where the skin is exposed and lights me up. I came off the ground. I yell and scream, big, huge welt. He is shocked that this thing has packed this much punch.
It was much more powerful than I remembered.
I am angry.
By the way, in our notes, it says story of being shot. That's what. Yeah.
I should have said, and some might call that PTSD.
Oh, yeah.
You know, post-traumatic stress syndrome or just Pastor Tim stress syndrome.
There you
know what
go.
I'm saying?
That's a good one. That's a solid burn.
Some
right
might
there.
Call it that. What about yours? That was a storm that landed that night for sure. That was a storm. That hurt.
I immediately was apologetic. Husbands, have you ever been in that moment?
You where weren't you, not apologetic enough.
You do
enough.
Something and you say something.
Not enough.
And you think it's funny.
He shot me. He shot me.
Hey.
Who does that in a living room? He shot me.
Take the stream down.
He did. He shot me. Don't clip that. That's true. Look, we're still married all these years later.
All
go ahead.
These years.
This is also a bad one, so I deserve it. Go,
there's just
go.
A dent there now, anyway.
Yeah. It's a little flesh, a little pound of flesh out.
I mean, it was loud. Pop! You know, I was like...
And he was close. I was not far from him.
Oh, it was about 10 feet.
I mean, probably... No, I don't think... I think I was probably this
I
close.
I think you could have just manned up, you know?
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
You see, you haven't apologized enough.
So anyway, second story. I had a friend out in Coeur d'Alene, which, if you guys don't know where Coeur d'Alene is, it's one of the most picturesque spots in America. And I have a pastor friend out there, and he hosts a retreat for pastors, and they go up to the Canadian border, and there's some incredible smallmouth fishing up there. And he had been inviting me for several years, but because of my back, I had to say no for 3-4 years. And then it got to where we were almost getting ready to finish the building, and I was like, you know, if I don't go now, it's just gonna get more crazy when we get in the building. I was like, you know, I'm gonna go ahead. And he had called me. He's like, hey, can you make it up here? Da, da, da. And I was like, yes, I'm gonna do it. Now, because we were in the throes of doing all of our construction stuff, I was a little bit busy, and I handed off the booking to Carrie.
Which normally and, I'm okay with.
Oh, sure. And
I'm
so
busy.
So this once-in-a-lifetime trip to Coeur d'Alene, north of there, smallmouth fishing. If you don't know, I'm a bass fisherman. And I had some of my buddies, Ben and Hollis, take me out to the airport. It was 5:30 in the morning. And then I was getting there, and all those pastors were going to combine in Spokane. And then we were going to drive up to, which was several hours away, to the spot and stay on this picturesque house on the side of this lake and have 3 days of majestic fishing. And you could go play golf if you wanted to, okay? So I just want you to imagine that is now inside of my brain. Guys, are you following me? Is there any other men in here like, you know, you're ready, right? And so I hop out of the truck and I grab my bag and I walk to the doors. I wave to the guys and I get up to the counter and I check the bag. And the guy's like, where are we gonna be going today, sir? And I was like, Spokane. And so I think I even had a ticket, an actual ticket. Imagine that. And I slid it across there. He like, and he goes, sir, we don't have any flights to Spokane today. And I said, well, that's where I'm going. And I don't know if you've ever had an encounter with a stranger at a place, you know, where we both realize something has happened. And he just looked down and he looked at me. He goes, sir, this ticket is to Seattle. I said, well, that's not Spokane, is it? Now, he already told me that there's no flight to Spokane, you see? I just can't switch the flight. And if you don't know geography, which I've found most Americans don't, it's like a 5-6 hour drive from Seattle. They're already going to be up there enjoying fishing by the time I get to Spokane. And so I literally just grabbed my bag and walk out the door, DFW airport, sit down on one of those little benches, just watching the cars pass by. Call Ben and Hollis. I was like, hey guys, I'm gonna need you to come back and pick me up. They're like, is everything okay? I was like, no. I was like, but don't take me home. I don't think I can go home right now. I might get an airsoft gun out.
Good thing you had a cell phone.
There you
got to sit on a curb and wait for somebody to find you.
Well, anyway. Enough stories.
I booked the ticket for the wrong city. You see, that's
I think we all picked up on it.
Yeah, two S's. Spokane, Seattle, you can see where
you can see where
confused.
It could go wrong.
Not one of my more
shining So both
moments.
Of these incidents, what we're trying to say is revealed a lot that was below the surface.
Yeah.
We had to have some grace for each other in the midst of those storms. I'll let you take it from there.
Well, this is what we're getting at, is when you find yourself in these moments, anger, we were both angry, I would say. We reacted.
I was angry.
There were things, there were discussions we had to have about, hey, so we don't shoot people in living rooms. And hey, do you need to double check the city? You know, we had those discussions for sure. But when we're talking about real storms that come in, let's say your personalities are at war, or you can't seem to get on the same page when it comes to parenting or your finances, or you know, how you're gonna plan next year out, whatever it is, when you find yourself in the midst of real storms, things that like you go to bed at night thinking about, and you wake up with the next day and it seems unresolved over and over again. These are the times when you have to call upon the foundation that you've laid, which if you have laid your foundation on Jesus, if he is the builder and the protector and all of the things that we mentioned in our formula, then you're gonna have received his word. And once you receive it, then you have to act in wisdom, because if you indulge your flesh and lean into your anger or lean into your disagreement or lean into what you want selfishly, then you're gonna have a storm that never dies out. You have to dig deep. You see, and the foundation that's been laid, because you're trying to move forward always. You're trying to get through. Remember, we're stacking up miles. We're not stacking up moments. We want to be sure that our flesh is not winning, but God as our foundation, as we've dug deep in the middle of these storms, that he would be able to come through for you. Because the waves of the storms are going to come. We always say it like this. If you're not in a storm right now, you will be, or you have been in one. Does everybody understand what I mean? So maybe it's not right now for you, but if you've been in a storm, you understand. If you haven't, it's coming. The waves are always coming, and those waves will bear witness to what is happening in our lives. And they could tell the stories maybe that we hide and we tuck away and we don't publicize. But you have to ask yourself exactly what the scriptures have told us today. Were you wise in how you built? Because if you build with wisdom on the front end, you're gonna have something to draw from when you get out into the deep waters where the storm rages in the dark of night. That's what you're gonna need.
There's no shortcuts.
That's what you're gonna need.
You know, the guy that built on the sand, I'm sure he was one of those penny pinchers, right? And he's like, you know how much money we can save? You know how much concrete costs? You know, we'll just build over here on the sand. And by the way, look at this view. We got a better view. Oh. We're right here on the beach, right? Ugh. And you can think of all the reasons to not do it God's way, but you will never shortcut what the waves will bear witness to. Right. You will never shortcut and say that, oh man, I did it my way and somehow I did it better than what God could have done, because it'll look great. There's a lot of Frisco Freds that have a 5-bedroom house with a pool outside and no foundation under it. And it's just a matter of time before the storm comes and the waves bear witness that you were not wise in how you built, that you were able to build an incredible life from the outside looking in, from the world standards. You have knocked it out of the park, but you are one storm away from losing everything. Wouldn't it be better to start digging deeper? Wouldn't it have been better right now if you started digging and instead of quitting too soon, you kept digging until you hit the rock? You kept giving up things and surrendering things until it was built on the rock. And then when you lay your head on the pillow at night, you could know that my foundation is secure. That's what we're talking about here today. The wise builder digs and builds on the rock that is Jesus.
Come on.
The right foundation establishes your future. Tell us about that future.
Well, it's funny. We always thought as we were building GM, I guess, building our family, that we were saying yes. And it was just about us.
We're going to do God's will in our lives.
We're just for us. And we had determined together, we're going to say yes to God. I mentioned this last Sunday. You know, there were times over all those years it was taking. It was like, are you in or am I in? I'm in. Are you in? You know, we would kind of check in. Yes, we're in. We're saying yes to God. But we thought that was for us. Now what we realize as we look back, that all of those yeses were meaning so much more. God was establishing something that we could not, we were building the future that little did we know our sons would walk in. And not only that, we were building a future that you would someday walk in, that your family would walk in. And we now get to stand and have this perspective that otherwise, like you mentioned earlier, we cannot shortcut that perspective. We cannot have contrived that perspective any other way than being able to walk that out, because God was revealing something in us, even at present, but also for future, that he's establishing the future.
Here's one for every family in here. The faith you live consistently becomes the future your family lives confidently. I'll say it again for the people in the back. The faith you live consistently becomes the future your family lives confidently. John 15, 5, right? You are the vine, we are the branches. So Jesus must be the foundation. He must be the builder. He must be the protector. He must be the provider. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. You can look like you're doing something, but he says, if it's not connected, you're really doing nothing.
Another thing we want you to understand is this. Think about it like this. Every yes becomes a brick. Every brick becomes part of a path that you're walking. And every path becomes a habit that you're forming. And what you need to understand is that your habits become their heritage when you're thinking about your kids. The habits, like you just mentioned, consistency. If you have consistently bad habits, they're gonna learn that. That's gonna become their heritage, your kids who are watching. But if you can set your sights and develop godly habits, develop habits that consistently will create in them a confidence in God alone, your habits will become their heritage. Just what are you passing on to your kids? It's worth reflection. Yeah. It's worth thinking through, because it's that important as you're thinking about your own family.
I would say to every man in here, your family is worth digging deep for. I would say to every church member in here, this church and all that we are doing, man, it's worth digging deep for. When it comes to the next generation, that's worth digging deep for. For every lost soul that God gives us the opportunity to save, that's worth digging deep for. I hope that you would consider, how deep have you dug? And if today you realize you've been building on the shifting sand, maybe today is a wake-up call to you. And you can ask yourself, have I asked him to be my architect? Have I been wise? Have I received his word? And everything that I do, I could tie it literally to God's will for my life. And if anything is not tethered, maybe today you need to find a way to get that under the umbrella of God's favor. Let's pray for you at this time. God, we ask that you would bless this time. God, we thank you so much for allowing us to worship together. That God, every family in here, we want them to have something that is built to last. God, we want them, when the storms come, they can plant their feet on a firm foundation. They can know they're handing something to their children that is connected to eternity. When it comes to their purpose inside of their profession, they can know that it's more than just making money. It's more than just growing. It's more than just closing the next deal. But God, it's connected to your calling for their life. If nothing else, to provide investment that they can then turn around and put back into the kingdom through the local church. God, that you've provided so much, you've blessed us so much. And God, I pray that we are aware and that we have gratitude for all that you have given. God, we pray today we would honor you and thank you for this firm foundation. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. And the church said, amen. Would you stand and worship with us?